This episode of The Edge is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
What have you done out there on the edge of Federation space?
Welcome, listeners, to Postcards from the Edge. I'm your host, Amy Nelson, and with me this week is Justin Ozer. Justin, thank you for coming on Postcards. It's an Earl Grey invasion.
Yeah, happy to be here on Postcards. I haven't been on since we talked about the Voyager fan response all those months ago before we'd even seen Discovery.
I know. Can you even believe it?
It's hard to believe. And now this is the 13th episode.
Oh my gosh, I know. Well, maybe there will be some TNG connections with this week's episode.
Well, I think I certainly thought for a moment there that there might be.
I included some. Okay. Yeah, people know how to get on the show. All they have to do is mention TNG and bam, I'm reading your comment.
No. That's true.
Yeah. Well, today we are going to discuss the fan response to episode 13, What's Past is Prologue. Now, if you'd like to participate and share your response, please post your comments on the Babel Conference. That's our listeners group on Facebook. Type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field and it will come right up. Every Sunday, I post a picture of Discovery inside an envelope, and that's where you can make your comments, which will be subject to being read on air. So let's get started. So excited for this episode. I watched it twice in one night, and this is the first episode out of all of them that I've done that.
Wow. So I guess you liked it then.
I did. So what were your initial thoughts, Justin?
Oh my goodness. So, you know, I've loved a lot of Discovery, but for this one, it's like every moment I felt like I was on the edge of my seat and I was glued to the screen, and there was just so much going on, and it's hard to put into words except to say I think this is my favorite Discovery episode. And I know it's bold, but I went as far to say on Twitter that I think this is one of the best episodes in all of Star Trek. I think it's incredible and right up there with just some of the very best.
Yeah. And part of what you were saying is because there is so much going on, I felt like I need to see this again because I'm sure I missed so much. And just the whole plot story, it was going and just moving so fast.
Yeah. And I think we got some more unexpected things than the last few where people had called some of the reveals. At this point, I was like, where is this going? I'm not quite sure. So it was exciting for that as well.
Yeah. Well, the fans had quite a bit to say. And as at the time of this recording, we had 534 comments. I really think this is a new record. I know I keep saying this every week, but I'm telling you, that is a lot of comments. Again, I'm just so impressed with the thought and, you know, the predictions and the fun and the everything that you bring. I really enjoy reading your comments. So a couple of initial thoughts brought about from our fans. Let's start with Andrew Kuderman. I didn't think All Access was worth it when I bought it. This episode showed me otherwise. It's been a while since we've heard about CBS All Access.
That's very high praise. And I think I saw some other comments from people online saying, okay, this is now worth it for me, which is really impressive, you know, after 13 episodes. But still, it was that kind of episode that really captured people's attention.
Yeah.
Wes Huntington says, better runtime. I kept on cheering, come on, let's bring them home. Lorca's death was like, I did not expect that. The speech from Saru was definitely the best one. The one from the wolf inside was just as good, and the 9-month time jump was crazy, but the best thing is they got home.
Absolutely. Christopher Query says, nice ending for the Mirror Universe saga. Good fight scenes. I would have liked to have seen more Captain Killy. I thought the mature rating would result in Mirror Universe people using offensive language. I assume when Lorca came to the Prime Universe that he destroyed his ship as part of the ruse. No news on Tyler.
Yeah, how about that? The swearing happened in the Prime Universe, not the Mirror Universe.
Yeah, right?
Never know what to expect. Christopher Littlefield says, whoa, what an episode. I was on the edge of
No. Whoa. Oh, okay.
I was trying to do it.
Listeners, you can't see it, but you can read it. It's all in capitals, and he's got all this A's. I mean, it's whoa.
Okay, I'll try it again.
Okay.
Christopher Littlefield says, whoa, what an episode. I was on the edge of my seat the entire time. Incredible fight scene. As soon as Georgiou killed Lorca, I shouted, yes, and had my arms in the air for like a whole minute. And how amazing was Saru? He represents the best of Starfleet and the Federation. I was waiting for the twist, and wow, they sure gave it to us. Yeah,
absolutely.
Another comment about Saru. Lots of people, I think, really loved his speech about not believing in any no-win scenarios. So that was
great. We'll
get
there. Yeah.
Sorry, getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, no, I know. There's just so much to talk about. Dennis Tremethick says, whoever says this is not Star Trek is full of Kelpian beep. You guys, you can't swear on air, so just leave the swearing out of your comments. Anyways, what a great conclusion to the Mirror Universe arc. What a great show tonight. Long live Discovery.
Christopher Mock says, I wasn't breathing during the explosion of the Charon and all during the mycelium network travel. That was intense. Sat there with the CBS logo on the screen for a good 10 minutes after it was over, trying to process what just happened. Felt like stepping off an intense roller coaster when you still feel the ride after you've walked away. Like that. LOL.
I know, it was. That's why I was like, what did I just see? There was so much super fast paced. Yeah. Good analogy with that roller coaster ride. Kevin Carman says, lots to unpack in this episode. Great lines, fights both in the palace and space strategy, etc. Lorca's journey mirrored Kirk's. I wonder if this means Prime Lorca didn't go down with his ship. Saru makes an amazing captain here. And with Mirror Georgiou in the Prime Universe, there are so many possibilities for where things can go.
Absolutely. I love that they brought over Georgiou. Bill Sweet says, oh my God, we're picking up readings of Kick-Ass never even imagined possible. And that's all in caps, by the way. I mean, seriously, Saru kicks it giving the Kirk speech, and the Emperor/Lorca fight is epic. What a fantastic use of the actors. On the edge of my seat again, as our heroes manage their desperate escape. I know tomorrow I will be weeding through comments about all the fighting not being, quote, real Star Trek, but it warmed this old TOS fan's heart to see a good old-fashioned butt-kicking paired with the reminder of what our Federation values, and even a nice little reference to sustainability aimed at our world that currently resembles too much the Mirror Universe. Bravo.
And Jason Sorensen says, this show is on fire. It combines all modern-day TV technologies with set design, costumes, lighting, FX, and tonight, more than ever, the spirit of Trek shined through with Burnham holding back on her kill shot and even Lorca admitting that the Starfleet United Federation of Planet idealism was too strong to be useful to him. Just great storytelling here.
Jason Chapman says, great episode, but you can't root for Lorca and you can't root for Philippa. I was torn, LOL. Saru saying fire was so cool, and I am in love with Robot Lady. More Robot Lady, please. That's
we should mention her name.
Arium. That's Arium, yes. Very cool to see her actually speak a few lines.
I know. Yeah, we'll get to that too. So I wanted to first talk about Saru because, you know, I'll have to be honest with you. I wasn't a big fan of Saru. I thought he was very Well, he wasn't a good leader. And the interplay between him and Michael, I didn't really care for. The whole threat ganglia thing, especially after last episode. So I just wasn't a big fan, but I'll tell you, I'm won over after this episode with what he did in bringing and like calling Discovery hours. Like I was just right there with him and saying, yes, this is now my Discovery.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for Saru, I think I expected to like him more than I did. But I've liked him for the most part, but he's really coming into his own and I'm definitely on board with him being the more permanent captain of the Discovery if that happens.
Yeah. Well, Dennis Belanger said, Saru really earned his Captain Pip's bars with that speech and the way he commanded the crew through the whole mirror ordeal. Let's hope he's ready for the Klingons. That was very Kirk of him. I love his solution to the Kobayashi Maru.
Janessa Chiarda says, I really can't wait to see Saru's reaction to Mira Giorgio. Who else is excited at the possibility of a non-human in the captain's chair? A Star Trek first.
Right? That would be a first, right?
It would. Well, let's see. It would be a first for seeing that on a more permanent basis. I think we've seen it temporarily or on certain ships or certain situations, but on a more permanent basis, absolutely. And that would be
We had Data be commander of a ship.
Yeah.
And he's non-human.
Temporarily. And we see Kira commanding the Defiant and she's non-human. But that's only like temporary for certain assignments. This would be different, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Anthony Ramirez says, holy crap. Saru and the bridge crew kicked Major butt. They gave us a taste of their personalities. Now I want more.
Mm-hmm.
Did you happen to watch After Trek?
I did, yeah. And I it was interesting that Ted Sullivan, the writer of this episode and producer of the show, was saying that he felt like during the course of this season, they've really come together more as a bridge crew like you would have seen in a previous iteration, like the original series or Next Generation or something like that. And that now they're really coming together and we're going to, it sounds like, see more of that and more of them working together and what we're used to.
Yeah, and I really liked how it was intentional that we didn't see the bridge crew up until now because we had to see them grow together, you know, to overcome this major incident in the mirror universe.
Yeah, I mean,
so that it was intentional.
I think we've seen them, but it's mostly been like taking orders, not as much taking the initiative and finding solutions like you saw Arium do during this episode. So
right.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, once again, Captain Lorca steals the show, and we definitely have some comments about him. Matthew Bell says, this has probably been mentioned sometime in the previous 500-ish comments, but couldn't Lorca have spent 5 seconds with a wet wipe and cleared that blood off his face? He's the Emperor, after all.
You know, it's funny because I didn't think about that, but I don't know, maybe he just wanted a certain kind of badass persona, like I'm bleeding, but I'm still fighting and doing my thing, at least up until the point that he thinks he'll kill Giorgio, right?
Yeah.
Then he'll clean up, maybe. Jason Sorensen says, it's like the coin tray at the gas store. Give a captain, take a captain. Ooh.
I thought that was funny. Andrew Boot says, loved this morning's episode. Rest in peace, Lorca. I don't think he'll be missed. I'm going to miss him.
I think so, too. He's just a real presence on the show, and Jason Isaacs is doing something amazing. Well, I guess some people won't miss him, but I think a lot will.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot will. Suman Dawan says, I hope Lorca is not gone. I hope the mycelium network took him somewhere. Isaacs is so good on the show. All the actors are. Can we please stop killing people? Yeah. Sorry, but I think he probably really is gone.
Yeah, if anything, there's prime Lorca, but maybe. I don't know.
On After Trek, it really seemed like a farewell, but you know, they've done that kind of thing before to fake us out. Who knows? But
right.
I think it's maybe a bit unlikely.
Yeah. Ryan Mail It says, I think it's implied that Prime Lorca died with his crew. Is that the case? I love Lorca as a character. I'd hate to lose him. I'm happy to see Discovery in the Prime universe. The Mirror universe is like a great spice. Fun to explore, but ruins the meal if used too much. I'm pretty excited about the final two episodes now. I agree. Yeah. So how many episodes was this with Mirror?
Four.
Three?
It was four. Since four. Episode 10. Yeah, I thought that was just right. Like, they didn't stay there too long. Some people were speculating it might be the whole second half, and I think that would have been a mistake to do that. I think four was just about right, and I'm glad that they found a way to wrap that up and move on to something else. Chris Chaplin says, I am sad to see Lorca go. When we thought he was a different kind of Starfleet officer, he was fascinating to watch. The execution of the plot in this series is well-planned and entertaining, but I don't know if the show will recover from losing Jason Isaacs. Admittedly, the whole cast is superb, but Jason stole the screen, less so when his mirror self.
Yes, there's some discussion when we get to our another section when we talk about our complaints and questions. I think there's definitely, we've got some people that liked Lorca being complex and complicated. Mm-hmm. Versus now it's just excused off as Mirror. So.
Yeah.
Trey Womack says, really good episode. Why, just why? The great Captain Lorca lived his life on his term and no one else's. Such a sad day. This glass of Sarian brandy is for the great Captain Lorca. May he rest in peace. A lovely fitting.
Very nice.
Yes.
Very nice tribute.
Yes.
Brett Lonsway says, just for the record, I believe that Prime Lorca is dead. Since Mirror Lorca came to be aboard the Buran due to the mirror-mirror-style transporter ion storm method, that means that Prime Lorca beamed aboard the Mirror Buran just in time to be destroyed by the ISS Charon. Bummer. Probably also means that the Mirror Disco returned to the Mirror Universe at the same time that Prime Disco came home, that whole Mirror Universe reciprocity thing. Interesting. Could be.
There's a lot of going back and forth. I can hardly keep up with it.
Yeah, it can become a little confusing, but I don't think they said anything absolutely definitive about Prime Lorca. But
right. Yeah, they haven't.
Yeah, but they might not. I don't know.
Yeah. Rebecca Skipper says, I didn't like Mirror Lorca, but I wanted to see what Prime Lorca was like. However, Starfleet gave Lorca some latitude, so we can't put the blame entirely on Lorca's shoulders. In fact, Lorca's presence was a good thing because it reminded the audience of how hard it is to maintain Federation norms. It's much easier to cave into fear or mistrust of the other. Did anyone else think of Drumhead after hearing the dialogue between Saru and Burnham and later with Discovery's crew when discussing the reveal of Lorca's true identity? Worf was influenced by a paranoid admiral in TNG. Discovery was influenced by someone with bad intentions who still had good leadership skills, or at least knew how to project confidence and to be an authority figure.
So did you think of the Drumhead during that?
I actually did not, but it's interesting to hear that parallel between them.
It is, because I hadn't drawn that parallel. I wasn't quite thinking of it that way. So, yeah, appreciate that.
Well, we know that Rebecca is a TNG fan, and it is her favorite, as she mentions. So, well done, Rebecca. Now, the whole Klingon War got a lot of comments about canon and what's happening. We're 9 months, we're past the cage, it's not TOS, what's happening? Everyone sort of was freaking out. So Ryan Bramble says, we know the Klingons don't win the war, so at this point every death and event could theoretically be undone. Literally anything can happen. I was sitting up in my seat for that whole fight scene. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Can I comment about what I think is with the Klingon War? Because there was a lot of contention about, Saru saying that the war was lost and all of that, and that doesn't make sense with what we see later. But I think there's still, it's his perception, and there's still more of the war to go. So that's just what he thinks, I think, at that time. Harry Mickelson says, bear in mind, they don't have to reset the Federation to what we know in TOS. The Federation has roughly 9 years to grow into what we know in the original series. Very true. A lot can happen.
Christopher Lutz says, I'm thinking the Klingons controlling most of the Federation is going to be the explanation for not seeing any of those ship designs in the original series or after. They told us there would be an explanation for the differences. The latest generation of ships and crew were all wiped out. I'm still trying to retcon this huge plot twist.
Yeah, then again, in the original series, you only really ever see one type of Federation ship, which is the Constitution class. So you could say there's a lot of other kinds out there.
Mm-hmm.
Sanjeev Gopal says, for every question they answered, they raised a bunch more questions. I am liking this series. I'm still not loving it, but I see the producers adding a bunch more things to canon if we go past season two. So the Federation lost the war? WTF. In TOS, was it ever definitively stated that they won the war with the Klingons? Just to answer that, I mean, they don't really give many details about the war that happened with the Klingons in canon. I mean, there's things in novels and other places, but there's a lot that they can fill in that isn't really talked about in the original series or other canon sources. So I think they have a lot of flexibility.
Oh, okay. All right. I was waiting to hear.
That's my opinion. I mean, also, like, you know, they were talking about they lost the war and they've taken over most of the Federation, but there was actually a preview on After Trek where basically there was a scene saying that the Klingons had taken over 20% of the Federation, which sounds a lot more dire than what you saw at the end of the episode. So I think it's really not as bad as it might seem.
Okay. All right. Well, there was a bunch of comments, just like sort of one-liners here and there. So I wanted to include them in my little segment called Bits and Pieces. Jason Sorensen says, remember the philosophical thought exercise about a tree falling in the forest with no one around? I ask this, can a mutineer who got her captain killed be held on those charges if her captain suddenly isn't dead?
Maybe, but just to be clear, it wasn't because her captain died, it was because she disobeyed orders, so it's hard to undo that.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they'll find a way.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, how they wrap that up. Anthony Ramirez says, can we talk about how beautiful the ISS Baran is? Reminds me of the USS Jaeger from the Battle of the Binary Stars, Cardenas class. Actually, it looks exactly the same. I like how he had his thought process during that. And I think in the Babel conference, somebody posts a picture of the Jaeger and it looks like it's the same class. And it's kind of nice because it has these nacelles that are kind of like an X pattern. There's four nacelles and I like how it looks too.
Yeah, and he was the one who actually posted that picture and then says, oh, it's exactly the same.
It's the same class. It pretty much is.
Yeah. Serena Rodriguez says, I gotta say, I'm really loving the music. And I noticed it this episode too. I was like, oh my gosh, listen to the music, listen to the buildup, listen. Yeah, it was really good.
I noticed it a lot too. I mean, the music was just so great and definitely looking forward to when they have the soundtrack out for the second half of the season. Mm-hmm. Coming soon, hopefully. Stephen Dryley Collins says, I really enjoyed how the secondary cast got to shine on Discovery, reinforcing the tenets of Starfleet and the caliber of crew we are dealing with. It was a nice juxtaposition with the infighting of the Terran crews. They were fighting because of what was in it for them. The Discovery crew were fighting for everyone and prepared to lose themselves as a result. Very good point. I mean, it's a really big contrast between what's happening with our Prime Universe crew and the Mirror Universe crew members who are kind of in it for themselves or because they're afraid of whoever's leading. So that was nice to see.
Yeah, Maribel Meyer says, yes, I didn't get enough of the bridge crew. So I'm sort of with you, hoping that we'll get to see a little bit more of them now that we now have this bridge crew that feels united and, you know, as a family.
Yeah, that would definitely be great.
Yeah.
Andrew Cutterman says, I am so unbelievably happy that Burnham grabbed Georgiou, and yet at the same time, so devastated by Georgiou's reaction. It was really powerful seeing her bring her back, and then Georgiou is just so unhappy about it.
Yeah.
By the way, that was one of my predictions in a previous Edge episode. when we did all the predictions that Burnham bring Amira Georgiou back. Yeah.
Wow, look at you.
I got the episode wrong. I didn't know that Georgiou would be the emperor, but that's something I felt would make sense. It's like this symmetrical thing. Like, she couldn't save Georgiou in the second episode, but now she gets to save her, but it's a different version. And it's beautiful, that kind of symmetry at work there. Yeah, so I was so happy to see that. I was like, yes, because this was the kind of episode where I was like, oh no, are they going to kill the emperor too? Are they going to kill Georgiou again? And because you didn't quite know what was going to happen, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure my feelings on bringing Georgiou back. I don't know about it.
I don't know.
I don't know if I like it or
not. Ted Sullivan said anyone can be redeemed, so we'll see. It'll be interesting. Yeah, okay. It'll be interesting. Yeah.
Well, our friend Lee Hutchinson says, if that episode was a lyric, I'm sorry, it would be in, out, and you shake it all about. That was funny. Lee is a hoot. So
yeah, I guess there was a bunch of plot stuff that got shaken around, right?
Yes.
Liam Smart says, great episode. I said before, I will be glad when all the predictions are over/revealed. And oh my God, so much more enjoyable. Not that it wasn't before. And quite frankly, I think a good third of the episode saw my mouth so wide open that my chin was resting on the floor. Also, I feel proud of Saru after that speech.
Yes, I was just texting a friend of mine and saying, can we just be done with predictions? And maybe it's because I'm so involved with The Edge and, you know, and social media and podcasting. Because I've never watched a first run show in this manner, being this involved. And so I don't know if this is normal behavior for fandom in other franchises.
I think it is, from what I've heard. I've never been as involved as I have with this. And yeah, it does become tough, but I kind of feel the opposite. I love seeing people make predictions, and it's like their way of getting involved and keeping engaged while they're waiting for the new episode. And I think that's what makes one like this even better, that a lot of people didn't predict the things that happened in this episode. So I like that even when people are kind of trying to work it out, sometimes they just are surprised. And yeah. I love that. But
yeah, okay, that's good. Yeah. You're right. But you're right.
It's just my perspective. And I think it's a certain way of like creative participation that people have by doing the predictions. Like, they can't write the show, they can't act in it, right? Mm-hmm. But they can try this creative exercise of trying to predict what would happen, almost as if they're writing or being in the show. I can appreciate it.
Yeah. I guess it's just hard for me. And well, you know, I've told you many times, I don't like to have favorites or list things and order things. I'm sort of that way with predictions. I'm like, I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm just going to watch and see, but that's just me. Yeah. So,
well, that's fair.
Yeah. Well, Carl Baird says, with all the major players in the Mirror Universe either dead or missing, I think we all know what this means. All hell, Emperor Killy. I thought that was cute.
That's nice. Well, that assumes she's not in the Prime Universe right now, but but that would be cool. Tim Robertson says, Michelle Yeoh's fighting scenes. Wow. I was half expecting her to fly through the air and spin around in slow motion like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. What an amazing fight scene. Absolutely. And, you know, seeing all of Michelle Yeoh's fighting skills and talents was great. I kind of half expected her to, like, you know, run up the wall and like up onto the ceiling or something.
Oh, right? Yeah.
but yeah, that was incredible to see. And really unleashed her fighting skills in a way you didn't get to see Captain Georgiou do.
Right. I mean, let's just spend a second on that fight scene. It was incredible. And her high kicks and the, you know, and throwing and flying and everything. And Burnham did a great job with Landry too. I mean, it was well orchestrated. They both were, you know, getting beat up and doing the beating up. So it was really good.
It was really well done. And I think they've had good fight scenes in Discovery, but there have been some times where it seemed a little more artificial or a little harder to believe. This whole thing, like start to finish, was very, I think, believable and engaging. I love it.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Yeah. All right. Well, Nicholas Paul Collinson, if you listen to Postcards, knows sometimes he can say a lot, but what he writes is so good. So I'm going to read what he says. And he says, "Sorry for yet another long post, but so much to like in this one. No need to apologize because I really like what you said." So he continues and says, "It makes sense that in the mirror universe, they would be weaponizing the spores and moreover doing it in an unsustainable way. So by pulling power from the network, they are essentially taking the spores out of their natural state. Shows how sustainable versus unsustainable uses of the same resource can have vastly different outcomes. The latter can be more powerful in the short term, but you will eventually run out. I do love the Star Trek allegory here. Speaking of which, make the Emperor glorious again. I think that may be the most overt Star Trek has ever gotten with its political commentary. Everyone's mirror counterparts look so awesome. Georgiou is such a boss. I love the character development of Saru now calling Burnham friend, and his motivational speech was amazing. I would follow that man into battle. I really love the themes in the episode, Empire versus Federation, social Darwinism versus cooperation, fascism versus democracy, science for war versus science for exploration, consumerism versus sustainability, destiny versus self-determination. Yep, this is my Star Trek. So glad Michelle Yeoh got to get all Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon in this one, and I love that they showed even the Terran Empire can be heroic. And a proper supervillain death for Lorca. That look at the network itself was gorgeous. Reminded me of the slipstream drive from Andromeda, but much better looking. Stellar episode today. Such a good end to the mirror arc. It was also really nice to see more of Arium and the rest of Discovery's bridge crew in this one. I loved how this showed them working as a well-oiled machine." So I know that was long, but I think he has so many good points and just said it very well.
Lots of great stuff in there. And, you know, one thing I didn't think about the first time that I watched the episode was this idea of what's sustainable versus what's unsustainable as like an environmental or conservation message. I didn't think about that. And I mean, there's so much action and so much going on, but he's right. There are a lot of different themes and, you know, social commentary and things that are going on in the midst of all of that, which is, you know, one of the reasons why I think I loved it so much. And a lot of our listeners did as well.
Well, not everything is roses over here in Star Trek Discovery, and there were some questions and complaints. So Patrick Carlin starts off with a question. "With Mir Lorca now being dead and Mir Georgiou being brought back with Discovery, who's the Emperor now?"
Good question, and we probably won't find out if we don't go back, right?
Yeah, if we don't go back to MU, yeah.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, I mean, when I was seeing the episode originally, I was thinking, oh, maybe it'll become Landry, but I think she died with the ship. So who knows?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, she died.
Good question, though, Patrick. Brian Sweeten writes, "If there was no contact with the Federation at the end of the episode, how did the war map update? Love the show and neat twists."
Yeah, how did it update?
Well, the only thing I can think of is that when they get back... See, the thing is, it's probably across, you know, a wide area. So to have it happen that quickly might be a little, unrealistic. The only thing I could think of is, you know, if they're able to, I'm trying to think about it, even, you know, having like almost like a subspace ping or something to see what's going on, but how would you even know how it had changed? So. It's a very good question. I didn't think about it, but there may not be a good explanation.
Yeah. Tim Hans asks, "What are they going to do with the mirror universe Georgiou now that they have her?" There was a little bit in the preview.
There was
for
a
next
bit
week.
In the preview. It seemed like they want her to work to help them end the Klingon War. I don't know. I mean, there's going to have to be an adjustment. Like, how does someone who held supreme power in a society that is basically all about, you know, authority and loyalty and all of that, going to adjust to the Federation that's all about, you know, cooperation and freedom of choice and all this kind of stuff. Like, I don't know, but there's got to be some stuff in there if they keep her alive for a while, that has her trying to adjust to that and see what she could possibly contribute in this universe, you know? I mean, and also, like, there are lots of non-humans on this ship. Like, how does someone who is all about, you know, the superiority of humans going to react to having to work with and be around people who are not human? That would be very hard.
Very good point. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. They've got to address it somehow, I think.
Yeah, they have to. They will.
Yeah. Alexander Olivares Sanchez writes, did anyone see the similarity between the mycelial network and the what's it called from Andromeda? And Nicholas Paul Collinson replied, the slipstream. Yes, very much. I think there must have been some cross-pollination there, pun intended, because they're both Roddenberry-based shows. Have you seen Andromeda?
No.
I haven't either.
I don't know what Andromeda is.
I haven't either. Although when they were talking about the slipstream, it made me think of the slipstream drive from Voyager. But I don't know if Andromeda got to that first. But good question.
Joe Saltzman says, Discovery is only 15 episodes. Past Trek was 24 to 26 episodes per season. While it's true we got some stinkers in those old seasons, we got more Trek. I appreciate that this show is highly polished, but I'd be happier with a show that takes time to breathe occasionally.
Well, I mean, I think it's important to remember that there are a lot of shows nowadays that have shorter seasons even than Discovery, 13 episodes, 10 episodes, even 6 or 8.
Nine.
Yeah. So we're actually getting with Discovery a bit more than might be usual. And I understand that, hey, I'd love to see Discovery for 24 or 26 episodes, but it's just unlikely to happen. And especially with it costing $8 to $8.5 million an episode, it's a very costly show to make. Yeah. So, but I mean, if you want more, that means it's doing something good.
Yeah, that's true.
Lynn Stevenson writes, only two disappointments for me in the episode. No more Lorca and no more Captain Killy. At least the costume. And where the heck is Mirror Michael?
Yeah, where is Mirror Michael?
I don't know. I mean, they very specifically said, or Burnham said, that Mirror Burnham was presumed dead. And, you know, often if you say presumed dead, it means that, you know, you're going to see something from them later. So who knows? Maybe at the time that the ISS Discovery came over to the Prime Universe, Mirror Michael Burnham was on there and we'll still see her. Who knows?
I don't know.
It's a good question. But yeah, no more Captain Killy outfit. Unless, again, Captain Killy is in the Prime Universe. I think that would be cool.
Yeah. Well, Rebecca Skipper writes again, hail to Captain Saru and long live Burnham. Okay, I love Saru's speech, and Jason Isaacs' reflection on the mirror universe are chilling. I'm referring to his quote on After Trek. We could become that mirror universe is what Jason Isaac is implying. Very sobering. As for Burnham, well, she could make one heck of a Section 31 agent, and her ability to remain loyal to Starfleet principles makes her one of the best characters. Okay, here are my questions. Why didn't Prime Stamets die when the mirror version was killed? Why did Burnham beam Giorgio back to Discovery? What is happening with Voke Tyler? This is one of my favorite episodes of the series. We clearly see contrasts, and I challenge anyone who says Discovery isn't Star Trek. Star Trek shines the brightest when it faces its most darkest moments. I can't wait for next week's episodes.
Interesting questions in there.
Yes.
Maybe I'll try to answer some of them. For Prime Stamets, I mean, since he's out of the network, he's not really tied in that way to the Mirror Stamets anymore. So I think it's fine that he didn't die when the Mirror Stamets died, right? Makes sense, I guess.
Another one, I was really hoping to see more about the Voke Tyler and more specifically, Laurel.
But they're going to pick that up.
We'll have to wait.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I didn't even realize it until the episode was over and people were commenting. I was like, oh, yeah, there was no Tyler
Vogt Lorel. Yeah, what happened to that?
They're just chilling in the brig.
See, that's why I said last week, I felt like there wasn't enough closure and I was really worried it was super fast. And I was giving them the benefit of the doubt, saying, well, they'll address it next week. And then there was nothing. So now I'm feeling even that was too short.
No, they're definitely going to address it. I mean, I think sometimes with Discovery and shows that work like this, they'll have something that'll pick it up two or three or five episodes later.
Yeah.
But
it reminds me of Game of Thrones because that does that.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that Vogt isn't really gone. And that personality is actually within Lorel in some way so that she can try to implant him in someone else. That's my theory. Because I don't think we're done with that. It was too short to say goodbye to Vogt that way, I think.
Yeah.
We'll see.
The things you do for love and for your empire. Wow.
Yeah. There was one other question Rebecca had, which was, why did Burnham beam Georgiou back to Discovery? I mean, I think that she just couldn't handle seeing another Georgiou die and her not do something about it. So it was kind of an impulsive decision, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely impulsive because I think she was fine, you know, going and ready to leave. But then just that last moment, I think the guilt and it's like, I can save her mentality, I think came over. Whether she's Mirror Universe or not.
Yeah.
So, my thoughts.
Dan McWilliams writes, I would have brought Mirror Georgiou back too. And some of Burnham's dialogue suggests some harm came from Lorca that we never see on screen. Honestly, all I see throughout the series is him giving her a second chance at life outside prison, so I'm confused what all the anger is about. Yes, he brought her and the ship there on time, on purpose. But that's at the very end of a long series of events, including letting her have her emotional closure on the Klingon ship. Another good question for the rest of the season. Now that Lorca is out, how are they going to keep Burnham out of prison? Will Saru get the same say in all of this? Yeah, I don't know. I think that based on everything that Burnham is doing and things that she will do in the next couple of episodes, I think they're going to find a way to forgive her sentence.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
And she's been so integral in getting Discovery back. So
yeah. I don't think it'll be like, oh, great, the war's over. Go back to the prison now. She's going to do something that's also, I think, like absolutely integral to ending the war. And they'll have to forgive her for that. Because they're in some desperate straits in this next episode, I think.
Yes, I think so. A lot of hot water there.
Yeah.
Well, Mark Rodriguez, my good friend, my negative Nelly. I love him, so don't worry. I'm not being mean. He says, this being Star Trek depends on what Star Trek is to each of us. I won't deny for a second that the show is exciting. It has good acting, amazing visuals, good music, interesting characters, and a good story. It even has all the cool Trek trappings. But I'm sorry. I don't think that's enough to make it Star Trek. Battlestar Galactica had all of that too, but it wasn't Star Trek. To me, Star Trek is special. It's unique. It's allegorical stories about today's social issues through the prism of science fiction. Burnham and our crew uphold the tenets of Starfleet. So do most good guys in most stories. That's not enough. So for you and a vast number of people, Discovery is the Star Trek they want. I enjoy it, but for me, it's Star Trek War. There's nothing unique about it.
So well, I mean,
we have,
you know,
his opinion.
He's entitled to his opinion. You can see things differently, and that's fine. I mean, I think it's an interesting contrast to what was said before about covering some of the social issues of today. So I think that's connecting for some people, but not for other people, which is interesting.
Yeah. And Mark and I have discussed this and actually a couple of postcards previous, like I think part of it is that it's not episodic where we can't have, well, here's the episode about racism. Well, here's the episode about sexism, right? So that story is being told in arc form, and so you can't really pinpoint it exactly. So I think that might have something to do with what is Star Trek to some people.
It could be. I mean, and also I think, you know, in some of these episodes, like what was being pointed out before, there are kind of multiple layers of things that are going on, and you might have a message about authoritarianism or conservation. I mean, it's not like a specific episode. It's like all in there. And that right. might not work for some people in the way that it's being presented, right? Instead of a different, more focused manner. So I can understand that.
Yeah. Well, and then Chris Littlefield has a comment following that. There's a big thread on that, and I would encourage you, if you wanted to go read it. Chris says, Mark, I'm curious as to how you can justify saying that there is nothing unique about it. We have new alien races, the first female African-American lead, the first gay couple, new and untapped technologies, never before seen ships and characters, new twists and takes on known aspects of the Trek universes, and the most ethnically diverse cast ever assembled in any Star Trek franchise. So there were multiple comments, I think all good, and I really applaud you fans for being so respectful and, you know, giving your opinions and your thoughts without demeaning or name-calling and stuff like that. So it was a good little thread there.
Yeah, and I appreciate that because we get hundreds of comments from lots of different people for postcards, and they do really just, you know, keep it like civil and constructive and, you know, making their arguments back and forth, and, you know, it doesn't degenerate into something toxic like you see elsewhere. So I love seeing that. Yeah.
Yep. We have the best fans on the Babel Conference.
Well, our friend Ken Tripp writes, I hate time travel and multiverses, but this was an awesome, incredible episode. Even though it was easy to see what was coming, they once again used great writing and acting to move the story forward. Whether or not they stayed within the timeline or shot ahead, you knew the Klingons would win or make significant gains without the ability of the Federation to detect their ships. My only concern is that the Federation is too weak and needs another evil person to win the war.
Yeah, that is one of my concerns too, especially after seeing the preview. Like, they are wanting to go to the mirror universe and use Georgiou's tactics. So does that compromise the integrity and morals of the Federation? And
I mean, that's what we're seeing in the preview. I think it might not be as simple as that. And there'll probably be, you know, a healthy debate about that, right? Like, if you think back to when the tardigrade was introduced and people were saying, oh, it's being tortured. It's not like Star Trek to do that. And then there was a debate and there was a resolution to actually free the tardigrade, right? So I think the writers are aware of these things, and there is a certain element, like they might need to see what they might need to use of Georgiou's talents and how to balance that. And I think we'll actually get quite an interesting like debate within the episodes about that and not just say, let's go for it. Kill everybody. I hope. I hope.
Yeah. Christopher Lutz says, sigh, I'm really starting to get fed up with this show. We've lost by far the most compelling character, Lorca, and in my opinion, they have made some very questionable creative decisions. I figured Lorca would die first off, but now that he's gone, there are maybe two characters I find interesting, Michael and Tilly. The rest of the main cast just doesn't do that much for me. What makes Emperor Georgiou worth saving? I know it's all about Michael trying to honor her former captain, but the mirror universe... But the mirror universe Georgiou is not that person. She's horrible, vile tyrant. She laid waste to an entire planet of rebels, remember? It's different from mirror Spock. He at least was open to pursuing nonviolence. She's not. The whole subplot is so flawed for that reason. Now she's going to help Starfleet? The message there being what? The ends justify the means? I can't say I have faith in that storyline. The Klingons have virtually won the war? No way. I swore at my TV. I can't believe that happened in the Prime Universe. They're going to have to pull off a creative miracle to make me buy into that idea. Honestly, I don't think they will. Not for my taste anyway. I'll stick around for the rest of the season, but right now I'm planning on unsubscribing from All Access as soon as it's done. I wish I didn't feel this way. I want to love the show, but I don't, and that sucks. Oh, Chris, we're so sorry.
It's a shame. I mean, of course, can't connect for everybody or do, you know, exactly what they want. But, you know, I think, again, you know, we'll see how they handle Giorgio being there and the war seeming to be over, because they might take it in an unexpected direction. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see over the next couple of episodes the comments we might get and what he thinks of the next few episodes.
Yeah. Yep, we'll be watching, Christopher.
Yeah. Eddie Hagler writes, how is a mirror universe Giorgio going to adapt to our prime universe? That will be interesting. Will it also keep a mirror universe character on Discovery now that Lorca is gone? Or is he? Something tells me that the mycelial network could have sent him back in time. Maybe.
Lots of people are not wanting Lorca to be dead.
It's so interesting because, you know, Lorca was this character when he was first introduced and people were like, who is this? You know, this isn't like a Starfleet
He's not my captain.
But now, like, over the course of the 11 episodes he's been in, he's gotten this, like, big fan club. And now people are like, oh, I don't want him to go. You know, I mean, he's been an amazing character. And I think that's disappointed some people that appears that he's gone. But we'll see. I mean, I like Lorca, but I prefer some of the other characters, honestly. But Jason Isaacs did an amazing job.
Yeah. Well, it's time to wrap up and listen to some final thoughts from our listeners. Dylan Exner says, I can't wait for the next episode. Yesterday's Discovery. I thought that was cute.
Nice TNG reference there.
Yes, that's right.
Now, I'm just curious, did you think when, you know, they came back from the mirror universe and they were trying to find out what time they were in, that it might have been possible that that they would have actually been thrown back into the, or forward into the 24th century, into the TNG era or beyond? Did you think that for a moment?
Did you read my comment? Because that's what I put, because they were talking about the jump, you know, into 9 months later. But when they were going and they're like, Stamets is like, well, we need to find out where we are and when we are. I'm not going to lie. My brain was like, oh, is it the 24th century? I was so freaking out. I really, yeah, really was.
I thought about that for a moment. Like, oh, are they going to do that? I'm not sure. I mean, like as far as the story and, you know, the sets and all of that, probably coming back to roughly the same time period makes sense. But it's amazing that it's the kind of show that you think, would they, you know, push it 100 plus years in the future? I don't know. It could happen, right?
Yeah, so, I know. Very interesting. It's because anything's possible.
Anything That's is possible.
The joy,
yeah,
of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Jason Sorensen writes, 7 seasons into Game of Thrones and their throne room with the Iron Throne is still pristine. Disco was able to use a similar grand set in its first season to explosive results. Its moon door was also more useful too.
I just love that. When I read this comment, I was like, oh, yes, that's exactly Game of Thrones. I know you haven't watched it.
I haven't watched it, but I appreciate that you have and that people are making that comparison.
Yeah, it's totally Game of Thrones. I loved it. So good job, Jason. Maribel Myers says, dang, it was a ride. We saw it coming and we didn't. I loved it. Popular thought so far is that Burnham would have to kill Giorgio, but I guess not yet. What are the Vegas odds now? Well, I'm here in Vegas, and I'll tell you, odds are, I don't know, 50-50 at this point.
I think one of two things is going to happen. Either Giorgio is going to sacrifice herself for the cause to end the Klingon War, or she's actually going to make it through the war and have to adjust being in this universe and doing who knows what, you know? I don't know, but I don't think like the possibility of Burnham having to kill Giorgio, I think, was in the mirror universe.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. Brian Louis writes, I love, love this episode. Holy S. It was great to see Jason Isaacs go full Lorca. He is definitely one of the more interesting Star Trek villains. Of course, he would not see himself that way. I will miss him on this show. He's just one of my favorite actors. Speaking of actors, I don't know what it is with Rekha Sharma, but she just plays characters I love to hate, lol. From Battlestar Galactica to Discovery, I just can't wait for her character to get killed. That third act was as good as another that I would see on the big screen. After the episode, I had to watch it again. There was so much character payoff in this episode. It was great with the social commentary in the episode. Saru's speech. Doug Jones really is a gift to this series. It was great to see the bridge crew of the Discovery really involved in the action. I do hope that next season we get to know more of the crew. And of course, Michael saving Emperor Georgiou. I was not expecting it. I should have, but with how the show is, you never know what can happen.
Yeah. It's a good summary. John Wood says, wow. Simply wow. Yet again, another episode with so much to take in. First of all, what an amazing episode. It was great to see some other crew members in the Discovery get some screen time. Love seeing the crew come together to push through and get done what was needed. I was kind of sad to see Mir Stamets get killed. So, 9 months later, can't wait to see how this plays out over the last two episodes. Did I remember hearing the Klingon War arc was supposed to be finished after the season? It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I love hearing Saru say, fire. He certainly makes a great captain. Can't wait for next week's episode.
Absolutely. And you did hear, right? The showrunners have said the Klingon War arc will end this season, so it will.
It's got two more episodes.
We'll see how it happens. Something big's going to happen.
Yeah.
So Mason Frazee says, this show is nuts. I love it, but usually TV shows don't ask the audience to make such huge leaps with them so early in a season run. So early in a series run. Everything I thought would be a multi-season arc ends up resolving in three episodes and leading into an even bigger conflict. Very risky. I hope the audience sticks with it and we get seven seasons.
Man, can you imagine seven seasons like this?
It's possible. Game of Thrones has had at least that many, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that would be...
I'm trying to think, though. I don't think Game of Thrones for every season has been this roller coaster ride. That's just my opinion. Mm. Maybe others.
But no, I think it would be great to get seven seasons because, if this is what they're doing in the 13th episode of the first season, imagine what they can be doing in the second, third, fourth. I mean, because a lot of Star Trek shows in the past have really hit their peak around, you know, four, five, six, seven. So
yeah,
that would be really, I can't even imagine what that would be
three.
Like. Well, okay, yes. Okay. Depends on the series. I was just thinking 24th Century. Sorry, original series. Yeah. And Enterprise.
Joshua DeVries says, beautiful writing. Michael Burnham's arc is outstanding. She started the show as an angry, defiant person whom I had a hard time connecting with, but now I spend every episode cheering every one of her triumphs. Also, I really enjoyed how this episode gave a voice to a lot of the secondary characters like Detmer. I hope we get to learn more about Disco's bridge crew as we progress through the series.
Yeah, and I think I have to agree about Michael Burnham. Like, sometimes I have, like, early on, I didn't quite know what to make of her, but I think she might be my favorite character. There's just such amazing things that she's going through and transformations. It's really something to see.
Yeah, and her love and ideal of the Federation that she just always stays true is really impressive and that she trusts that that is the right thing to do.
Yes. So, yeah, I love that. Ian Bartholomew writes, I was pretty sad at the Lorca reveal last week because I didn't want to lose the character, but the scenes on board Discovery this week were great and give me a lot of hope going forward. Plenty to explore amongst the remaining crew. Plus, I think this was the best interplay between Saru, Tilly, and Stamets so far.
Agreed. It was really good. Morgan Whitfield says, a great episode to end our time in the Mirror Universe. Can't wait to see what's next. We'll miss Mirror Universe Lorca. Hail, Georgiou.
Will Georgiou get used to not having people, you know, say, long live Emperor Georgiou. Yeah, or bow to her.
Yeah.
No one's going to bow to her me. On that ship, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, the adjustment.
Are they going to put her in the brig?
But, like, on what charge? Like, what has she done, like, in I don't know. I mean, it's like this, it's like this gray area, right?
Yeah, it is.
Because what has she technically done to the Discovery, but actually help them in the mirror universe, right? In the end.
Yeah.
So who knows? Who knows? Shoab Mirza writes, 5 stars in this week's Trek Through the Stars. I like that he's named it Trek Through the Stars.
Yes.
Everything in this episode was so satisfying. The action, plot, and acting was incredible. The fight scenes were crazy. Giorgio, Burnham, Lorca, and the supporting cast, quite exciting. Captain Saru, that scene in engineering, Discovery is ours. I love that too. Discovery in action, kicking some Terran butt and surfing some mycelial waves, and every cast member elevated the story to an epic level. Well done by the whole production team. Yeah, definitely.
Agreed.
Everything yep. came together. The writing, the directing, the acting, the producing, the props, the stunts. I mean, the special effects.
I know.
It's crazy how much.
It was. I'm like, this is a movie quality episode. I mean, they all have been, but like this one.
This one in particular, I think. Yeah. Just blows you away.
Yeah. Drew Barker says, like I said last week, every episode is better than the last. And this week did it once again. This series is just sublime and spectacular. I think we agree too.
Definitely. Ben Nicholson writes, did anyone see that coming? This was an exciting action-packed romp that I very much enjoyed with an ending that I didn't expect. Yeah, I don't know if anybody expected that ending where they'd come back, it would be some months later, and looks like the Klingons are winning the war. At least I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't hear any predictions like that.
No, not quite like that.
It's nice. Well, Justin, how do you think the fans responded to this week's episode?
Yeah, I think overall they responded, you know, very positively. You know, I've been trying to keep up with all the comments and, you know, the postcards thread in the Babel conference each week. And, you know, it seems like, you know, week over week, there's just been, you know, more and more positive response. And this one got quite a lot of positive response. And, you know, of course, it didn't work for some people, but I think, you know, lots of people are really, you know, engaged in it. And the record number of comments that we got tells me that there was a huge amount of interest and that people are, after this one, really anticipating what's going to happen next week, because it's like, how can you top this? I mean, that's kind of the sense, overall sense that I got. People are like, wow, that was amazing. I can't wait to see next week. How can they, you know, do even better than this? So I think people are excited overall.
Yeah. Well, and I have to agree. And as I've, you know, been doing this for now 13 weeks, going reading every comments and stuff like that, I'm seeing that the story really is having its payoff from the beginning, you know, to when we first meet Lorca and stuff like that. I think it's the story is really just paying off, and we're getting to know these characters, and, you know, people that didn't like Michael at the beginning now do, like me. I, you know, didn't care for Saru, but now I like him. Like, we're getting the growth and the character development along with the plot, along with the story, along with the themes that are just, in my opinion, very evident. So I'm really enjoying it. And I think I can see the transformation of the fan responses as well with that. So,
yeah. And it's only been 13 episodes. Wow.
Yes. Well, be sure to check out our Discovery coverage throughout the week. It starts on Monday with Live from the Edge with Bruce and Brandy. Starts at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can watch them on the YouTube and ask them questions and get their initial response. And then it is released as a podcast on Tuesday mornings. Our commentary will be available as Tracks from the Edge on Wednesday with the amazing Mike Schindler, and to get all of his thoughts on that. We'll discuss your feedback, obviously, on Thursday with Postcards from the Edge. And of course, you can catch full analysis on The Edge main show on Friday with Brandon Shea Mutella and his guests. To wrap up the week, join us for Notes from the Edge on Saturday for links between Discovery and the broader franchise with our one and only Chris Jones. You'll find all of these in the main feed for The Edge and in the Trek FM master feed. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Discovery. Best place to do that is the Babel Conference, like I've talked about. You also can find us on Twitter at TrekFM or send us an email using the contact form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and choose the edge. That will come right to me. Well, and to all of us. So, Justin, where can people find you on the network and elsewhere?
Well, you can find me co-hosting Earl Grey. That's our dedicated TNG podcast with you, Amy, and also with Richard Marquez. We have a great time talking about The Next Generation every week. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm at TrekFan4747, where I tweet about nothing but Star Trek. I tweet quite a bit about Star Trek Discovery, and I'm also tweeting out my season 4 rewatch of The Next Generation. And you can also find me hanging around the Babel Conference on Facebook, of course. Why?
Absolutely.
Why wouldn't I be there, too?
Yep. Well, I'm on Twitter at Miss Amy Nelson. Love to see you there. But my favorite place is the Babel Conference as well. Such a nice conference. We would like to thank our associate producers. They are Norman Lau, Tony Robinson, Thomas Puleo, Lisa Slack, Shoaib Mirza, Richard Rutledge, James Muldrow, and Cornelia Reutner. Thank you so much for supporting Trek FM and The Edge. Now, if you'd like to help us keep all of our shows going and even become an associate producer just like those guys, you can visit patreon.com/trekfm for all the details. Justin, thank you so much for coming on Postcards. I really enjoy talking Discovery and The Next Generation with you.
Oh, it's a pleasure being here. Always love podcasting with you and talking about Discovery. And it just so happened I was on an episode of Postcards with a really amazing episode of Discovery. So I'm happy about that.
Yep, you chose well. Yes. Well, listeners, join us next week for another episode of Postcards from the Edge. Hailing frequencies open.